What were you playing, Ron and Brian?
Go to Mexico.
What's that?
Ron and Brian go to Mexico.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, and as always, I am joined by the Randolph to my Mortimer, Brian. Brian, how are we doing today, sir?
I am looking to make a $1 bet with you. A $1 bet on changing the lifestyle of two men.
Okay. Who are the two men?
I'm thinking that we take an options trader from our firm that we work in.
Okay.
And I say we take a African American homeless man that was recently arrested outside of our club.
I'm in. Let's get it rolling. But let's do Perfect. The podcast first.
All right.
Should we start off with a drink of the week? Because you started something new this week. You said, let's vote for drink of the week.
And I thought that was a great idea. I thought that was a
spectacular idea.
I thought that getting people to vote, and obviously you and I voted, so you know we let known who we wanted to win.
Right.
And when I say not what we wanted to win, I'm not referring to the drink. I'm referring to the people.
Yes.
It was not a coincidence that both of the drinks this week were. Named after his countries that have been enemies of the United States at different times. And what I was very disappointed in your selection of the French 77.
Were you now?
Well, I've got a personal history with the French.
And what is that personal history?
I have no qualms telling you. My grandparents, Hilda and Jaime, I couldn't come up with a Jewish man's name. hold on, no, I gotta work through this. That's what
Mortimer?
We already used that one. My therapist says, Shmuley, there we go.
Okay,
Shmuley Perlisovich, was living in France in the late 1930s, was a tailor, had his own shop, employed two other Jewish tailors, weren't as good as Shmuley, but Shmuley was just, you know, he was a proud person. And when the Nazis decided that they wanted to take over Europe, Shmuley and his wife were like, should we leave? Should we flee this country? It's not safe for us. And Shmuley was like, no, the French will always have our back. French understand that they need the Jews to help with the entertainment sector, the finance sector, the tailoring, if you would, of society. And when the Nazis went down the what do you call that big street over there? Never been there. Eiffel Tower, we'll just call it.
The Rue de Willys or Champs-Élysées or...
Oh, go screw yourself with your facts. you and your facts. But when the Nazis rolled through Paris, Shmuley was immediately thrown out of his store. All of his savings were taken. And let's just put it this way. I shed a tear for Shmuley. And the fact that when we were deciding on drinks, you said, I'm going to pick the French 77, which I felt was a personal immediate assault on my family, that I decided that if you're going to pick the people that caved to the Germans, I'm going to pick the people that kicked the Germans' asses. I'm going with the Moscow Mule.
And that was, you know, I mean, that's a fair statement on your part. I feel, you know, I opted to put together a campaign advertisement promoting my drink. You took some umbrage to that, I feel. But you laid no ground rules other than the vote. I felt I had every right to make a campaign ad. And I thought it was a very effective campaign ad.
I respected you more for their campaign ad.
Should I play it?
I think you have to.
All right.
I'm Ron of the Ron and Brian podcast, and I approve this message. This week, you have a choice between two very distinct and polarizing beverages for Drink of the Week. My opponent believes we should be sipping on a Moscow Mule, a drink named after the capital of a country that meddled in our 2016 presidential election, a drink that you could technically blame for everything going on in our country today. On the other hand, you have the French 77. France has long been an ally of this country and has given us a number of amazing gifts over the years. The Statue of Liberty, French fries, French toast, the French tickler, and 77. Well, 1977 was the birth year of a number of legendary Americans. James Vanderbeek, Jessica Chastain, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and one of our greatest American heroes, John Cena. You have many choices when you go to vote this week. Well, actually, two choices, civility or anarchy. I know what my choice is. Vote French 77.
And thankfully, the voters out there picked civility. And I think, again, it was a narrow vote. Just one vote separated the winning drink from the losing drink. And I think that's an important thing to point out in this election season, is that, one vote really can make a difference. So, Brian, I have my French 77. Do you?
Oh, hold on. I'm not done yet.
Oh, you're not done. Sorry. Hold on.
I'm not done. Put that piece of shit drink away. First off, you approved. You started off that audio commercial by saying that you approved this message.
Right.
Now, what I want to point out to you is that that message contains mistruths.
What mistruths? Falsehoods. What mistruths are in there?
Lies. You said that the French have always been our allies. And what I wanted
to... No, I said they have long been our ally.
How, define long.
I mean more than like 5 years.
Okay, then go fuck yourself. 1986, April. The United States government reaches out to France and says, listen, we need to get revenge on Muammar Gaddafi of Libya. This man arranged for the terrorist attack on the discotheque in West Berlin that was favored by U.S. servicemen. He arranged to have a Pan Am flight blown up over, I believe it was Lockerbie, Scotland. And the United States said, listen, Gaddafi must pay. Now, the problem was the fact that the flights that the U.S. military was going to take as their route, they were going to fly from England directly to Libya. And our French, excuse me, I believe the term you used was allies, refused to allow us to use their airspace to fly those planes over. Those flights had to take a circuitous route around France to drop our bombs and kick Gaddafi's ass, which years later, his people found him in the desert and did other things to his ass. But we're not going to talk. I don't want to get sidetracked. No, France is not our ally. France is not our ally. France does not like us. France has never, they've never sided with us when push came to shove. Have you quickly forgotten about freedom fries?
I mean, all I know is, we've got this delightful beverage here.
In 2003, Ron, shut up. In 2003, when the United States was putting together our countries to go to war against Iraq because they were purchasing uranium cake, which one of our longtime allies in Europe decided not to go along with us because they felt that that they were not an ally of ours and that we could go fuck ourselves. Who was it? It was the French.
I get your point. You clearly have an issue with the French. I feel maybe next week I need to pick another French-oriented drink for my selection.
In 2003, Bob Ney, who was the Republican chairman of the Committee on House Administration, officially renamed the menu item previously known as French fries, renamed them Freedom Fries, that were being served in the congressional cafeteria. Why? Because he fucking hated the French. And I try not to curse on this podcast.
No, of course
because not. I don't. I try not to. I want the kids to listen. I want the kids to be part of this. But I am so outraged that the people that voted for this swill, this backwash that and I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I'm taking names. I'm taking names of people. Retribution will be exacted.
All right. So anyway, French 77. It's a little elderflower liqueur, which apparently is very difficult to obtain in Queens.
I did find it, though.
A little lemon juice, and top that off with some champagne. So I've actually not tasted this yet. So cheers to you, my friend.
I want to hear your immediate reaction, because I've already had some of mine.
That is horrible.
Fucking A. It is terrible. It is.
Good Lord.
God awful.
Let me try this again just to make sure. Oh, yeah. No, that's bad.
Oh.
Well, we're going to have to drink it because that is the rule of drink of the week. Oh, man.
It is terrible. Now, let's discuss what is in a French 77.
Right.
Now, the recipe I use, and you tell me. You tell me if it's not what you use.
All right.
Hold on, I let me pull it up because I want to get the exact. When I'm ready to euthanize my father, I am going to make him drink this several times. Okay, so which basically was last night. I drank a fifth of Jack Daniels. Then what I did was I shit into a strainer all day today. The liquid extract that came through the strainer, I then mixed with some gin and some champagne, and ooh la la, a disgusting French 77.
My recipe was less complex than that. It was an ounce and a half of Saint Germain, lemon juice, and then topped off with champagne.
So yours didn't actually take gin.
Mine did not, no. I can't imagine it would make it taste any better than this.
No. One thing I think we should do moving forward is agree on a similar recipe.
Okay.
However.
That's fair.
Okay. And while we're on the topic of different recipes, I would like to, I'm going to call you to task if you don't mind.
Please do. I always feel necessary to be called to task when necessary. Okay.
So, last week we drank our drink of the week. We were Palomas.
It was a Paloma, yes.
And you seem to have enjoyed your Paloma.
My much more than I'm enjoying this French 77.
This is swill. This is disgusting. Torture. Have you ever been in Texas and used one of the men's rooms where it's just a big trough? Where everybody's urinating. I imagine that at the bottom, at the end of that trough, someone's holding a glass there, and when it fills up, they're taking it out and saying like, "Hello, anyone? Would anyone like a French 77? Ooh la la, you'll be getting some cheese. I surrender. Those frogs just bent over for the Nazis. They didn't even put up a resistance. And then the fucking Vichys came in, and they just sat there and they were like, oh, wait a second. Hey, we've been a country that has existed for centuries, but Germany, you want to take us over? Sure, why not? Oh, and by the way, we'll tell you where the Jews are. Fuck the French. Oh, do I hate those people. I can't believe this is what I'm drinking. It's disgusting. So disgusting. Anyway, so last week.
You were taking me to task over something.
Well, I'd like to take you to task over making me drink this shit, but like, at least you can say the people voted.
Yes.
All right. So now, last week we drank our drink of the week were Palomas, and you sat there and said, hey, my paloma is very tasty. I'm so glad that I used vodka this week. And it was pointed out to me by a diligent listener that a paloma uses tequila and not vodka.
But you can also find vodka paloma recipes out there.
And those things are called greyhounds.
See, I would argue with you because the greyhound technically has grapefruit juice, where I was using a grapefruit soda mixer.
You were drinking a ghetto greyhound.
Well, if nothing else, I picked a horrible drink this week, and we are all suffering for it.
So I would like to put forth a term that we will be able to use moving forward on the podcast, which is, it's a verb. It's to ron.
Okay.
All right. And to ron means to agree to do something and then say, fuck it, and just do whatever you want.
Just kind of half-ass it.
Because I would also like to remind you that 2 weeks ago, prior to the Paloma, our drink of the week was a tequila sunrise, and your lazy ass did not even go out and get the ingredients for our agreed-upon drink.
Guilty as charged.
So, let's get this straight. Let's summarize your drink of the week efforts.
Okay, let's do this.
You completely bailed on a tequila sunrise.
Right.
Then you looked at the ingredients of a Paloma and said, fuck it, I'm going to make a Greyhound instead. And then I'm going to exact my revenge on Brian by making him drink a French 77.
So would you rank me above or below the French right now?
You're above.
All right. Well, that's good at least. Well, we'll do it this way. This is what we'll do. Since we are doing the vote for drink of the week, when each of us select our drink of the week, we will then also exchange the recipe for said drink with each other so that whoever wins, we each have that recipe in hand and we'll go off of the same recipe. Does that seem fair to you moving forward, sir?
Now, is that, do we have to publish what the recipe is in the poll? Or
once... No, it's just for your and my edification.
Agreed, agreed. And I would like to say I'm pissed off because I spent $35 on a bottle of elderflower liqueur that I am never going to fucking use again in my life.
I will say this, there are other cocktails, and I will share some recipes with you that utilize Saint Germain that are much better than this god-awful stuff. Because this really, hold on, let me just make... Oh. You know, it doesn't get any better as you get towards the bottom.
No, it's worse. Though I would like to give you credit for using a proper glass.
You like the fancy crystal goblet that I'm rocking here?
Because I just said, fuck it, I'm drinking out of a pint glass.
I believe the kids call this being bougie.
You are bougie. You are very bougie.
Thank you very much.
So
drink of the week, and Brian hates the French. That's the takeaway of this first segment here, which I don't think we've ever had a 20-minute drink of the week segment, but hey, we do what we want around here.
Absolutely. Start your own podcast if you...
That's right. If you don't like what we're doing, everybody's doing podcasts.
Absolutely.
So let's move on to This Week in Racism. Still don't have a jingle. DJ and a half, we're reaching out to you. We've requested some help. If you can get something to us by next week, that'd be fantastic. But regardless, not much of a surprise on the This Week in Racism poll. Nathan Larson for win number 3. So if he wins 2 more weeks in a row, he retires, gets the number 1 seed for Racism Madness coming this December. Gotta say, quite a week in racism. It was very difficult to come up with what we were going to select. Let's see what all happened this past week. We had a Dunkin' Donuts in Baltimore that posted a sign offering free pastry and coffee for any customer that reported an employee shouting in any language other than English. We had the members of Tau Kappa Epsilon at Texas Tech posting racist comments about illegal immigrants and African Americans in a group chat. Let's see, Netflix fired their communications chief over the use of the N-word in company meetings. used it first in a meeting talking about acceptable language in comedy. And then, to top it off, he got called into a meeting with HR to talk about other employees being uncomfortable with his use of the N-word. And he used the N-word again in that meeting. We have a South Carolina woman who hit a black teenager that was at the pool at her apartment complex. But she also bit a cop that then came to arrest her, so she may have just been crazy. Let's see what else here.
What was that? Hold on. She bit a cop?
She bit a cop, yeah. She hits this kid at the pool, and then the cop comes to serve, you know, an arrest warrant, and she resists arrest and bites a cop.
Have you ever lived in an apartment complex with a shared pool?
I have, yes.
What was your experience? Because I've had that as well. What was your experience with that, if I may ask? And I'll tell you mine. But I mean, it's fraught with danger. Is where I'm going with this.
I mean, I typically don't like to go into the sun in general, but I usually would only go to the pool when I knew there was a very small amount of people there, because I don't like crowds. And like you said, it's like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome in a public pool, basically.
It's when I was living in Florida, I was in an apartment complex. We had a shared pool. And there were times where I would walk down to the pool in my swimsuit. I would have a towel. I'd have my flip-flops. And I called it doing a lap, which was approaching the pool, entering the pool area, seeing the people that were in the pool, realizing I wanted nothing to do with them, and I would just do a complete lap around the pool, and then I would leave. And this was not race-based. This was manners-based. These were people that have no idea how to behave in public.
But did you bite a cop?
I've never had the opportunity. No, that's not true. I've had some interactions with police officers, and in each one of those opportunities, I've decided not to bite a cop.
Good call. Well, this woman, not weak in racism. We also had a Cleveland area Bahama Breeze was hosting a group from Delta Sigma Theta, which is a historically black sorority. They had about 30 or 40 women having lunch there. Manager called the cops and had the cops come over to make sure everybody paid their check. Let's see, the Detroit Tigers fired a pitching coach today for allegedly making racial comments towards a player. And then in California, we had a black firefighter doing property inspections that the residents had been notified about, and he was filmed by one resident, and another resident called 911 on him. But all those did not make This Week in Racism. This Week in Racism, and I'm sure everybody has heard about this woman, Kermit Patty. Yes?
Yes. I was going to say there was another one that we considered, which was the police officer in, I believe it was East Pittsburgh, who shot an unarmed African-American man within, I believe it was 4 hours of becoming a police officer.
Yes. Well, he had been a police officer elsewhere, but he had literally been sworn into the force that day. But he's been charged with homicide, so being charged with homicide automatically gets you disqualified from This Week in Racism.
Correct. So
it's a little side rule people don't know about.
So let's talk Peppermint Patty.
So this is a real name, Allison Edel. She called the police on an 8-year-old that was selling bottles of water outside of her apartment, trying to raise money for tickets to Disneyland. I think I got a little audio here that the girl's mother took.
This woman don't want to let a little girl sell some water. She called the police on an 8-year-old little girl. You can hide all you want. The whole world gonna see you, boo.
Yeah, and illegally selling water without a permit?
Yeah. On my property.
It's not your property. You're on the—
So just a peach of a woman. Afterwards, she claimed it was the noise that the child was making that prompted her to call the police. She then stated that she only pretended to call the police, but then she stated she was actually on the phone with 911 at the time. But then, in an interview with the Huffington Post, She said, I completely regret that I handled it so poorly. It was completely stress-related, and I should never have confronted her. That was a mistake, a complete mistake. Please don't make me sound horrible. I think the internet took care of that for her.
Yeah, I think it's a little late for that. And now my question to you, and this is where first off, Nathan Larson looms, he looms very large over at this moment, because here's a woman who just, you know, doesn't want, and first off, the fact is don't drink the French 44 anymore. Just dump it out.
We said we'd finish these things, and I feel like I feel like I've let you down so much on Drink of the Week that my punishment is to finish this.
Okay. But it was the fact that it was a African-American girl. You left that out.
Yes.
Now, my question to you is, do you believe that it was racially based? Because the internet thinks that it is. This woman has been harassed. This woman has, she was, what's the word when your personal information gets released in the internet? When people, I mean, literally, just from the video leaking, within, I would say, less than 24 hours, her name was leaked, where she worked was leaked. So my question to you is, do you think this was racially based incident?
I think there is a racial component to it. I feel, you know, had it been, you know, a white mother and child, she probably would have just gone and spoken to them. I felt like, you know, in this situation, she felt like she could just call the police and have the police be her arbitrator for her. That's just my take on it.
I don't disagree with you. I was going to say that if there was an 8-year-old girl right now selling water, I would eagerly buy a bottle of that water as to water down this French 77 that I still am trying to struggle through.
Now, apparently Allison Edel was CEO of a company called Treatwell, which sells medical cannabis products for pets.
And that's the biggest fucking shit that she's throwing out there, is the fact that here's a girl doing a hustle trying to sell bottles of water. This woman's selling weed,
which is apparently a legal gray area in California. It hasn't really been fleshed out whether it's legal or not for the pets. And she was quoted in a newspaper article saying, you know, it's kind of like don't ask, don't tell. We haven't gotten any pushback yet. She knew that, you know, maybe what she was doing was 100% above board, yet she's going to crack down on this 8-year-old for selling bottles of water because, you know, the kid's mom lost her job and she wanted to go to Disneyland.
I would like to point out that I think this woman has been partaking in some of those dog treats, because it looks like she has succumbed to the munchies a few too many times.
Well, and on top of that, a number of dispensaries started to cut ties with her company. And she also was cut out of a documentary called Lady Buds, which is a film that's going to be coming out about women in the cannabis industry. And I say she was CEO of the company because today she tendered her resignation as CEO of Treatwell.
Now, I have a question for you relating to this. Okay. I like champagne.
Okay.
I've had it multiple times in my life.
Yes.
I've drank gin. I like gin. Why, in God's name, do I despise this French 77? It is so disgusting.
I mean, I will agree with you. The individual components of this drink I enjoy. But, you know, you bring them together. I kind of look at it like ambrosia salad. Like, individually, those items are delicious. You put them all together and it just becomes like a hot mess that just doesn't feel right in your mouth.
There's a great Curb Your Enthusiasm where they mention ambrosia salad. It is the episode where Larry gets talked into going to an incest survivor's support group. And I forgot the woman's name, but she is sitting there talking about how she was molested by most of her family. And she starts talking about bringing ambrosia salad to a family picnic. And while she's being molested, Larry, I think, asks questions about the ambrosia salad. And he says, like, did you like it? Did people like it? I'm not really an ambrosia salad fan. And it was just, it's the only, what is in an ambrosia salad?
I mean, I believe isn't it like Jell-O and fruit and whipped topping and all this stuff? Mandarin oranges and cherries, I feel, should be in there.
All sounds good to me.
Individually, yes. But you throw it together in a big melange and not so much.
I think I'm going to go throw up.
But we digress. So that is Peppermint. So you got me saying Peppermint Patty. Permit Patty this week in racism. So she will be going up against Nathan Larson. We'll have the poll up on the Ron and Brian podcast Facebook page shortly for you to vote on. And speaking of voting, big day in primaries yesterday, especially in New York. Brian, you're in Queens, correct?
Yes.
Are you part of the New York 14th district?
Don't think so, but wouldn't know.
Well, there was a huge upset in the Democratic primary yesterday with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez upsetting 10-term incumbent Joe Crowley, who many assume was going to be taking over the leadership of the Democratic Party from Nancy Pelosi after the midterm elections. Ryan, your thoughts as a New Yorker?
I believe that this is another example of a growingly educated populace who are getting tired of status quo. And I'm not sure this is a good thing for America, but I think that you've got people that are, I think this is basically the left's reaction to the right voting for Donald Trump, which is that the Democrats have not been able to put forth anybody who is exciting, someone who is looking to change the way things are being done. I think it is the left's version. And obviously, when we're talking about New York politics, we are talking about the left. And when I say New York, I mean New York City, not upstate New York. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was riveted by the election returns that were coming in from the Saratoga County Republican consultants that we have up there that yes. were updating us on a regular basis. But New York City is very liberal in terms of their electorate, and I think that the people in this, they want change. People are tired of the way things are, and for once they actually spoke at the ballot.
And it was especially surprising, like we said, Joe Crowley, 10-term incumbent. Hadn't even faced a primary challenger in 14 years. He outraised his opponent, 10-1 in fundraising. But, when it came to the polls, she knocked him off. Governor Cuomo said today that she won the election by doing a good job connecting with a, quote, angry and afraid minority community.
Now, I have a question for Mr. Crowley, which was, had he thought of uploading a poor audio sounding audio file to Dropbox where he lied about the allies that this country has had in his defense of his agenda, because clearly that gets the votes.
I feel you're still upset about drink of the week.
One has nothing to do with the other. Okay. I would just like to point out that apparently, it does seem that the listeners of the Ron and Brian show will sit there and get excited about a Dropbox audio and be like, I'm voting for this. What is this drink? Elderflower? Fuck that. Yeah, we're drinking elderflower this week. No, stop it. Listen, when somebody puts up a black and white YouTube video of Nazis marching through Paris, that should be enough. That should be enough for you to say, I'm drinking the Moscow Mule. And also, another untruth in your audio was the fact that you said that Moscow and Russia rigged the elections or interfered with the elections.
Well, I said, yes, they meddled in the presidential elections.
Allegedly. That has not been proven yet. New York is, and America is innocent until proven guilty.
Only I can say one good thing about drink of the week.
Yes.
And that is I have finished mine and don't need to drink any more of it. Oh, God, that was just horrible.
So disgusting. Makes me question anybody that voted for it. What I would like to do is I would like to first off apologize to you. I feel I owe you an apology
for
coming up with the idea of letting the people vote. I think that and I know that Senator Crowley is on board with this, or Representative Crowley is on board with this, but maybe the people shouldn't get to vote.
Very possibly.
You know, I think when Donald Trump said, you know, a dictator's not such a bad thing, maybe that's what we should do for Drink of the Week. Maybe I should just pick Drink of the Week moving forward.
We can mull that over. Moving on, question for you, Brian. You're a man of the streets. You walk the streets in New York. You see a lot of vehicles moving around. Have you seen any sexy tailpipes lately?
Depends.
Okay.
All right. 2 o'clock in the afternoon? No. 2 a.m. coming out of the bar? Yeah.
Nice. So you, my friend, might have something in common with Ryan Malik, a 23-year-old Kansas man who basically, for lack of a better term, was fucking a car. Someone called 911 when they saw him in a parking lot under the car. The cops arrived. Mr. Malik had his penis in the tailpipe of a car, and he was having sex with it. Well, maybe he thought he was making love to it. I don't know. Maybe it was a little bit more romantic to that. Surprisingly, cops show up. Guy doesn't stop. Cops have to tase him and arrest him. And this may be the shocking part. His blood alcohol level, 4 times the legal limit.
Now, this is the part. Now, this was an article we came across on Motherboard,
yes,
which is a subsection of Vice,
yes,
the website. And I would like to question some of their journalistic standards in terms of how they write articles and the language they use.
I don't believe they have any journalistic standards.
Well, here's a direct line from the sentence. That person called 911, and when the cops arrived, they found a dude fucking a car.
You know, in a situation like this, though, I mean, how else do you phrase that?
I would also like to point out that in the state of Kansas, where this this took place, it is not illegal to have sex with your car.
It is not. You just can't do it in broad daylight.
So what this gentleman really needed was a garage.
Or a blanket of some sort.
All right. I'll take a blanket. No, I think that's still out, you know, out there. Do you remember the Smoking Gun website?
Apparently it's still around because
I had no idea. They
pulled court documents off of it.
I used to look at the Smoking Gun every week.
I mean, back in the day, there was like 8 websites. You millennials out there may not remember this time, but there was only 8 websites for us to go to. And Smoking Gun was one of those websites. In fact, I think there was actually a Smoking Gun TV show hosted by Mo Rocca. And where's,
yes,
Mo Rocca?
Mo Rocca, I think he's on Channel 2 doing a Sunday's, like, witty things going on. Here's the number one most popular article on the Smoking Gun, if you'll point out. Headline, cops, woman forced ex to have sex at machete point.
I heard about this today. I heard that she went to rob him and then he ended up being home and she made him have sex with her.
Oh, she just wanted to get, you know, she just wanted some. A machete wielding Montana woman, right off the bat, be afraid of any woman from Montana. A machete-wielding Montana woman broke into her ex-boyfriend's home, directed him to disrobe, and then forced him to have sex with her. As detailed in a criminal complaint, Samantha Mears, 19, I mean, bitches be crazy at an early age. Entered the victim's Great Falls residence Friday when he was not home. When the man returned, she confronted him from behind with a machete. She then told the man to get on the bed and remove his clothes. For those listeners right now that are touching themselves in the crotch area, word of advice, don't do that. This story takes a weird turn. The victim then told police that he complied with her for fear of his safety, adding that, quote, he did not feel he could leave the room at that time without being hurt by Mears. Investigators charged that after Mears removed her pants, she climbed atop the victim and they engaged in intercourse. The victim said that Mears, who was holding the machete, bit him on the arm and continued to have sex with him after he attempted to end.
So, was it any good?
They don't say whether he finished or not. I mean, well, ooh, that was a real sexist comment on my part.
I mean, that's some performance anxiety right there.
I have trouble urinating in a public urinal if there's somebody standing next to me. This guy's about to have sex with a woman who's got a machete at his throat.
I mean, there probably are some people that are into that.
Here we go. The victim told Great Falls police that he had become aroused by seeing her without her undergarments on, and that he added, after ejaculating, he attempted to push her off of him to end the intercourse, but she proceeded to bite his arm and continue to have sex with him until he was no longer erect.
It's that honey trap. Gets you every time.
After the intercourse, Mears sat on the bed, still armed with a machete, with her back against the wall. It was during this time that the victim... Somehow he gets his phone. He takes pictures of her with the machete in her arm. She is currently being charged with aggravated burglary, assault with a weapon. Both are felonies. She also is facing misdemeanor counts of criminal mischief, assault, and unlawful restraint. Holy shit. How is it that she's not being charged with rape?
Well, that's what I was just about to say. How is there not a rape or some sort of sexual crime charge involved there?
Aggravated assault. Oh, number four top article on the smoking gun. Here's the headline. Finally, Monica Lewinsky is reportedly prepared to detail how she tossed Bill Clinton's salad.
You know, I could really go the rest of my life without knowing that.
Really?
I think so.
I would be interested in that article.
If I promise not to make you drink anything like the French 77 again, can we move on?
I fucking hate you for that drink.
Like I okay, myself. I
hold on a second.
Myself.
Can we at least put forth a new rule that we have to try drinks before we recommend them?
See, I don't. I think that takes some of the fun. It takes some of the edge off of it. I mean, I think part of what the excitement is with Drink of the Week is we could very well get a horrible drink. I mean, when we were throwing it out to the listeners, they could have sent us like just a shit drink to have to. To suck down, and we said we were going to have to finish it. I think we hold up to that.
Okay, you're right. No. You've convinced me.
All right.
You've convinced me.
So this week, main topic is
before we get there, there was something I wanted to actually bring up, and I did not mention it earlier when we were talking about it, but it was something that took place today, and I wanted to know whether what your thoughts were on the subject.
Okay.
Earlier today on the Supreme Court, why did my voice just go up? Supreme Court! Justice Anthony Kennedy, who's been on the bench for over 30 years, he was nominated by Ronald Reagan, and Justice Kennedy announced that he is going to be stepping down.
Yes.
Which means that our current president, Donald Trump, will now have the ability to nominate a second Supreme Court justice.
Yes.
And what is, I've seen multiple articles, and it's something that came to my mind immediately, is how are the Democrats going to respond to the unofficial McConnell rule? Which I don't know if you're familiar with, but when Obama, President Barack Obama, may he rest in wherever vacation he is currently enjoying his life, when he had less than a year left on his in his presidency, and there was an opening on the Supreme Court, the Republicans basically blocked him from being able to nominate anyone. Right. They refused to hold hearings on his candidate. They said that it is not fit, that it is not right during a election year for a president to nominate someone, and that they should wait till after the election.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Again, check out the Facebook, vote This Week in Racism, and catch us next week.